Well, as we look at the Old Testament lessons that are appointed each week for the lessons for the week, this one happens to come from Malachi, which translated means my messenger. So having just spoken about the angels as messengers, God had sent a messenger long before by the name of Malachi. And we'll listen to the verses that are appointed for the Sunday, and then I'll add one more. So this is verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3 of Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be swift to bear witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired workers and their wages, the widow and the orphan, against those who thrust aside the alien, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Here ends our reading for the evening. Well, as the Malachi writes to these people, they have returned from Babylon to Jerusalem about 500 years before Jesus was born. And they had thought when they got back, they did rebuild the temple, and they thought everything would go well. And it was kind of a new system to them. They thought God would be very pleased with all that they had done. But God didn't respond the way that they wanted, and they kept having one country after another overrun them, and they are always living under someone else's rule. And they got kind of frustrated with God. And they got discouraged with God. And so they began to be unfaithful, figuring, well, God doesn't seem to care for us, so why should we care about God? So they got sloppy in their sacrifices. They were supposed to bring the best of the animals, the best of the flock to the temple. You can read elsewhere Malachi, and Malachi chides them, speaking for God, saying, you'll either steal animals to bring them to the temple, or you bring me the lame ones, you bring me the blemished ones, you bring me the sick ones. You're supposed to bring the best. You're robbing me by not giving me the best. You're choosing wives willy-nilly, just marrying girls, whether they're Jewish or not, and that's not helping the faith at all. And the wives you do make, as you're in your youth, he says, you divorce early on and choose one wife after another. You pay low wages to the workers, as we've just heard, and you have disdain for the alien among you, those who are the foreigners amongst you. These are the kind of behaviors you're having, God says, and because you don't respect me anymore. The people felt like things should be better, that God... they were getting weary. They thought of trying to do the right thing, and in their weariness, they just started not paying any attention to what they were doing. They felt like God had let them down. And so they complained to God and became morally bankrupt in all these kinds of ways that they are chided by Malachi for. To them, you might say, God had become a memory and not a reality. And they thought, well, there's God out there somewhere, but it doesn't really make any difference anymore. God isn't real to us. But Malachi says God will come. God has not forgotten you. And suddenly when you don't expect it, God will come up on you. And there will be, he will come upon you like a fuller's soap. A fuller's soap was used by people who would come along and help the sheep herders. They had new wool. The wool was full of oils and dirt and things. So it was a very strong soap and a very strong smelling soap. And they would clean the wool so it would be white and nice again. Those who did the work never got rid of the smell, and so they were kind of people on the fringes of things because they always smelled like the soap that they used. And he said they will be refined like gold, which means you have to heat to get it there. You have to heat it, melt it down, heat it again, heat it again. That will happen to you to refine you, he says. To get to be like silver and gold, you will have to be refined. And so God says, I will do all this. I will go against the sorcerers, that is, who call upon all other names besides my name. This adultery that you do, that will be chastised as well. Those who pay low wages, those who thrust aside the alien, all these people will receive the judgment of God Because God says, you rob me. By giving me your seconds, you're robbing me, God says. You complain harshly, yet God says, I do love you. You complain against me all the time, yet my love is there for you. I get tired of you, God says too, even as you're tired of me. I get tired of your complaining. I get tired of your treating me like second class. But God says, despite that, I will continue to love me. And so he says that one day the judgment will come. Those who are truly evil, they will be gotten rid of. Those who love me, those who care about me, they will receive different. And so Malachi says in the very last verse of this book that God will send Elijah, the one who now will be hoped for. And so that the people have lived on this dream of Elijah. And if you know Jewish friends, at Passover there's always the empty seat, the one for Elijah, set at a Passover meal because the hope is there for Elijah. And it's no accident then that John the Baptist, when he appears in the wilderness, as we've been hearing here last Sunday, looks like Elijah. He wears the same kind of clothing, eats the same kind of menu. He is like the Elijah to come. He is the promised one to say, God is now acting. God is now acting. And John the Baptist then fills that role as Malachi had promised long before. The new Elijah comes, the one who dresses and like Elijah did and ate like Elijah. The new Elijah has come. Well, we hear this warning too. It comes close to home. Like we are a tired people, not just from work, but from news and trying to make the world better. We all get tired doing this. And we see the same kinds of things that Malachi was warning about come very close to us. We're weary of the world. We're weary of God. We're saying, God, come and make things better sooner. How much more do I have to do, God? We get weary and we complain. God, how much more do we have to do? But God waits until the right time. And about 500 years later, after Malachi then, at this time when John the Baptist came on the scene, John comes announcing Jesus. And he does come. He comes to remind us of what in the world, of what God is about. He comes as one who lived in the world as Jesus does. He lives in the same world, of the same world of excess and injustice that was there in Malachi's time. He was born into that kind of world. He walked through this world. He healed people in this world. He criticized this world. Jesus became weary himself, seldom if ever getting a full night's sleep himself. He went to the temple to decry the same kinds of things that Malachi was talking about. For that, Jesus was silenced by execution. But he rose again to show that it was not the end. God had not become completely tired out. God had shown the desire for life and the return of the original intent of the world. God wanted the world to be restored in a loving way, the way he had created it to be. And so now Christmas reminds us in our darkness of days and tiredness of bodies that God has not given up. God has reinvested in us, in the world, and has continued to keep us in this world, even though it's fallen all around us, to say, I'm with you. You're there as my people in this world to bring it to the new creation. So we can take heart in the midst of our weariness and trying to do the right things, that our God sticks with us, that invests in us, then comes close to us, gets very close to us. He is our companion as we go through life's ways, and as we live by God's desires and live by God's standards, he goes with us every step of the way. Amen.